each stage of life a chance to grow. With faith and love, the blessings flow. Seasons of life, seasons of life.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, as-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Rasulullah, as-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Habibullah, as-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Nabiyullah, wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurullah. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome back to another fantastic episode on the Silsila Seasons of Life. And mashallah, today on the Silsila Seasons of Life, we are going to be discussing a very beautiful topic, an exciting topic of discussion, and that is regarding the difference between humans and Satan. The difference between humans and Shaytan. Yes, we are going to be discussing this beautiful topic as we journey along, inshallah. But before that, let us first and foremost mention the excellences of reciting salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In which our beloved master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has very beautifully mentioned that the one who recites salawat upon me 10 times in the morning and 10 times in the evening, that person will find my shafa'ah, my intercession on the day of Qiyamah. So let us all collectively, with full of love, send salawat upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, dear viewers of Madani Channel, all praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is our creator, our sustainer, our nourisher, and our cherisher. And whether we are going through the ups and downs of life, whether we have less, whether we have more, we are to show gratitude and express our thanks in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more gratitude you show, the more barakah you will have. The more thanks you express to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more blessings you will have. So always keep in mind to say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, ala kulli hal, and you will see immense barakah in your livelihood, in your sustenance, in your rizq, in your family, in your wealth, and in this world as well as in the hereafter, inshaAllah. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen. So yes, we are discussing the difference between humans and Shaytan, which I find it very imperative for each and every one of us to know the difference between us human beings and Shaytan. And to begin with, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Holy Quran, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ إِنَّهُ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. Then Adam alayhi salam learned some words from his Rabb. So Allah accepted his repentance. Indeed, only He is the most accepting of repentance and the most merciful. So dear viewers of Madani Channel, Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created him with his own power. He taught him ilmul asma, the knowledge of all names. He made the angels prostrate to Adam alayhi salam. He was given the crown of khilafat. He was kept in Jannah. He was kept in paradise. In short, Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam has a very high rank and a great status. However, once a small slip occurred, when Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam ate the fruit of a tree in Jannah, of a tree in paradise. Although this act was not a sin, and a lapse for which one receives a reward. And despite this, dear of Madani Channel, Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam felt very ashamed of this action. That even after arriving on earth, Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam continued to cry, continued to weep for 300 years. Allahu Akbar. An interesting fact, the scholars say that there are five personalities who wept a lot. Firstly, Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, he wept for 300 years for eating the forbidden fruit of paradise. Secondly, Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salam, he wept due to being separated from Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam until his eyes turned white. The third is Sayyidina Yahya alayhi salam. He wept a lot due to the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fourth, Sayyida Fatima Zahra radiyallahu ta'ala anha. She wept a lot after the passing of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the fifth is Imam Zainul Abidin rahimahullah. He wept a lot after the tragedy of Karbala. amongst all these blessed personalities, the one who wept for the longest time was Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, as he shed tears for 300 years. Now, what happened after he wept for such a long time? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ إِنَّهُ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. Then Adam learned some words from his Rabb, so Allah accepted his repentance. Indeed, only He is the most accepting of repentance and the most merciful. Now this means, Mother Inshallah, that there were some words that Allah Ta'ala put into the heart of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. And through these words, he repented and his repentance was accepted. Subhanallah, what were those words? Now this narration is found in many books of hadith. Sayyidina Umar bin Al-Khattab, Sayyidina Ali bin Abu Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they say that the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam made an ijtihadi mistake, and after being worried for a long time, he made dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What was this dua? Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, he said, Ya Rabbi, as'aluka bihaqi Muhammadin lamma ghafarta li. That, oh my merciful Rabb, forgive me for the sake of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked, O Adam, how did you come to know Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, he replied, he said, O Allah, when you created me and put the ruh, put the soul inside me, I raised my head and I saw written on the pillars of the arsh, of the throne, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I understood that you have joined his name with your name because he is the most beloved to you among all of creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then said, O Adam, you have spoken the truth. Indeed, he is the most beloved to me among all of creation. Make dua to me through his means, through his wasila, and I will forgive you. If Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not exist, I would not have created you. Subhanallah, subhanallah, dear viewers of Mother Inshallah, we learn that our master, our leader sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is superior even to Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. We also learn that making dua through the means, through the wasila of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the way of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. Whenever you go through any difficulties in life, any worries, any stress, any anxiety, any depression, financial crisis, whatever the case may be, whatever problems you're going through in life, you want your lawful wishes and desires to be fulfilled, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala using the means and the medium and the wasila of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah, we learn this from Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. And on Sayyidina Ka'b al-Ahbar, rahimahullah, he says that once Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, he said to his son Sayyidina Sheith alayhi salam, that, oh my son, you will be my successor after me. Whenever you mention Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mention Sayyidina Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well. This is because when I opened my eyes, I saw his name written on the pillars of the arsh. Then when I traveled through the heavens, I saw his name written everywhere. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept me in paradise, I saw his name on every palace, every room, on the necks of the hoors, the maidens of paradise, and on every leaf of the tuba tree, which is the biggest tree in paradise. Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam says, I saw it on every leaf of Sidratul Muntaha, the lotus tree at the furthest boundary, and even on the eyes of the angels. Therefore, my dear son, mention Sayyidina Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a lot in abundance, as even the angels mention him at all times. Subhanallah, subhanallah, how exalted is the status of our master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is why that whenever we make dua, we should make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala using the wasila, the medium of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The views of Madinah Inshallah, we have heard that Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam came down to earth. He shed tears over his slip up. And finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted his repentance and gave him the crown of Khilafat. Now at this point, scholars of Islam mention some very, very important things for you and I to learn. Now here is where we go into the difference between humans and shaitan. Scholars of Islam, they say that there were two situations. First situation, shaitan was commanded, prostrate. Shaitan became arrogant and did not prostrate. Second, Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam was commanded, وَلَا تَقْرَبَ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ. Do not go near this tree. Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam forgot. This means that both of them did not act upon what was said. However, when we look at the results of these two matters, they are very different. Shaitan did not prostrate, and he was declared accursed for all of eternity. Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, on the other hand, ate the fruit of paradise, yet he was granted khilafat and sent to earth. What is the difference? Shaitan was cursed for his disobedience, while Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam was given khilafat despite his ijtihadi mistake. What is the secret behind this? And our pious predecessors, rahimahumullah, they state that there are five differences between these two matters, right? And inshallah, we are going to elaborate on these five differences. The first difference is that Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam admitted ijtihadi mistake. Shaitan did not admit his sin. Instead, what did he do? He started arguing, presenting proofs. That's the first difference. The second difference, Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam took responsibility for his ijtihadi mistake, and he made dua. He said, Rabbana zalamna anfusana. That, oh our Rabb, we have wronged ourselves. But Shaitan did not take responsibility for his sin. Instead, that wretched one, he said, Rabbi bima aghwaytani. Oh my Rabb, I swear that you misguided me. Allahu Akbar. This evil wretched one is saying that, oh Allah, you led me astray. Astaghfirullah. Even though Shaitan was the one who was arrogant, he was the one who was jealous, and he was the one who was stubborn. His actions were wrong, but look at his daring. He is blaming Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his sin. Ma'adullah. It was the second difference. The third difference, Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam felt ashamed. And according to narrations, he did not look up at the sky for many, many years. On the other hand, Shaitan, instead of being ashamed, he showed arrogance. Instead of being sorry, what did he say? One said, لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. I shall most certainly sit upon your straight path to ambush them. It was as if Shaitan was saying that he would also provoke others because of what he had done. He said, oh Allah, I will turn your servants away from your path. Allahu Akbar. We go on to the fourth difference. Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, he repented immediately. As soon as ijtihadi mistake happened, Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, he said, قَالَ رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. They both said, oh our Rabb, we have wronged ourselves, and if you do not forgive us and do not have mercy on us, then indeed we shall become among those who incurred loss. But Shaitan did not turn towards repentance. Shaitan said, أَنظِرْنِي إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. So give me a respite until the day of resurrection. Now this means that instead of repenting, he delayed the matter until the day of Qiyamah. Allahu Akbar. Was the fourth difference. We go on to the fifth difference. Shaitan became hopeless of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, he kept his attention constantly fixed on mercy until his repentance was accepted. The reviews of Madinah Channel. These are the five basic differences between Shaitan and a human. These are five good and bad approaches. A true human is the one who follows Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam and adopts these five good habits. And the one who adopts the ways of shaitan might look like a human, but in their habits, in their ways, they are like shaitan. So we should adopt these five good habits. Number one is to become those who admit mistakes. We need to make it a habit to admit our mistakes. Humans make mistakes. There is an Arabic saying when it's mentioned, Al-insanu manin nisyan. Humans are those who forget. A good person is one who admits their mistake. Like it is mentioned in a hadith, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, Kullu bani adama khatta'un, wa khayrul khatta'ina tawwabun. That every human makes mistakes. And the best of those who make mistakes are those who repent. Every time we commit a sin, we make a mistake, then our reaction is we need to repent immediately in the God of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now there is a big problem in our society, Divis of Madinah, you know. And I want to explain to you and highlight the harms of not admitting a mistake, right? People are not ready to admit their mistakes. They make it a matter of pride. Like admitting a mistake feels like losing respect. It becomes difficult to lower one's head. How can I ask for forgiveness from someone younger than me? In the same way, greed gets in the way. For example, people think, if I admit the mistake, I will lose my job or money will stop coming. And this is exactly what happens. People do not admit their mistakes. I mean, even though this is a bigger mistake than the first one, because of this, homes are broken, fights take place, divorces happen, and the future of children is ruined. So many problems arise. I mean, if you read history, you will see many, many kingdoms were destroyed. Why? Simply because they did not admit their mistakes. These are the harms of not admitting a mistake, Divis of Madinah, Inshallah. We need to remember that a good person is one who admits his mistake himself, he is saved. I mean, ways to succeed open up for him. But for the one who does not admit his mistake, time eventually makes him admit it. But by then, it's too late. So, the mistake happens. Don't delay. Admit it on time. Otherwise, a person may suffer such great loss. Like Sayyidina Jarir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that once Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, he set out on a journey, and on the way he met a man who requested, O Prophet of Allah, please allow me to stay in your best company. I also wish to travel with you. Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam allowed him to join, and while traveling they sat by a river bank to eat. Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, he had three loaves of bread. Both of them ate one loaf each and one was left over. Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam went to the river to drink water, leaving the bread over there. When he returned, he saw that the bread was gone. So Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam asked the man that, where did the third loaf of bread go? He replied, he said, I don't know where it went. Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam said, come, let us continue our journey. The man stood up, started walking with Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. On the way, a deer was standing with its two beautiful fawns. Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam called one of the fawns and it immediately came to him. Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam slaughtered it and roasted it, and both of them ate its meat. Then Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam gathered its bones and said, stand up by the command of Allah. Immediately those bones became a fawn again and it ran back to its mother. Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam said to that man, I ask you in the name of the one who showed you this miracle through my hands, tell me the truth. Who took that bread? Man replied, still he's saying, I do not know who took the bread. Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam took the man, continued the journey. They reached a river. Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam held the man's hand and walked across the water to the other side. Then Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam said to him, I ask you in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who showed you this miracle through my hands, tell me the truth. Who took the third loaf of bread? And again he said, I do not know. Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam walked further with the man. until they reached an empty desert. Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam told him that, sit down. Then Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam gathered some sand and he said, O sand, become gold by the command of Allah. The sand immediately turned into gold. Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, he divided that gold into three parts. And he said, one part is for me, one part is for you, and the third part is for the person who took that loaf of bread. And hearing this, that man immediately, all of a sudden, he jumped and he said, that I was the one who hid that bread. Allah, Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam told the man that you take all three parts. And after saying this, Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam left the man there and moved on. The man was very happy to get so much gold and he picked it all up. Then two more men arrived. When they saw a man who's alone in the desert with a lot of gold, obviously they're not going to leave him. They decided to kill him and take the gold. So when they stepped forward to kill him, the man said, do not kill me. Instead, let us divide this gold among ourselves. So those two men, they agreed and they stopped. Then the man said, let us do one. Let us do this, that one of us should go to the nearby market, bring some food. After eating, we'll divide the gold. So one of them went to the market. When he bought the food, a satanic thought entered his heart that I should mix poison in this food. As soon as they eat it, they are going to die and I'm going to take all the gold. So what did he do? He mixed the poison in the food. He went back. On the other hand, the other two men, they became greedy and planned. What did they plan? And look at how greed overtakes a person. So they plan that as soon as our third companion arrives with the food, we are going to kill him and divide the gold between ourselves. As soon as he arrived with the food, the two of them killed him. Then they happily ate that poisoned food. And after a short while, the poison took effect and both of them died as well. The gold remained lying there as well. After some time, Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam passed by that place again and saw that the gold was still there and three dead bodies were lying nearby. And seeing the Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam said, this world is a deception, so stay away from it. Meaning, the one who gets trapped in its greed is destroyed. Allah Akbar. So the Ibn of Madani Shannam, this, from this story we see that this is the trouble of not admitting a mistake. I mean, if this man initially had admitted his mistake on time, he would have been saved from destruction and would have also enjoyed the company of the Prophet of Allah, Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. But no, he was greedy. He did not want to admit his mistake. And when he finally did, out of greed, it was too late by then. So before it's too late, Yusuf Madani Shannam, we need to learn to admit our mistakes. Own up to it. Take responsibility over it. You did something wrong. You made a mistake. Own up to it. Admit the mistake. And you would see. You would avoid many, many unnecessary problems. Many unnecessary issues. That's lesson one that we learn. And this is also a big problem that, you know, people do not look at their own faults, but search for the faults of others. There is a saying that a person does not see the beam in his own eye, but sees the speck in someone else's eye. This is a very, very big problem. You know, life is spent finding faults in others, and one never gets the chance to correct themselves. That's why a very beautiful hadith, which contains a lesson for you and I. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends good for someone, Allah ta'ala creates qualities in them. One of which is that He shows them their own faults. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So we should also adopt this approach. Now a person said a very beautiful thing, that if you want to find faults, do not look through binoculars. Look through a mirror. This means that do not look at the faults of others by using a binoculars. Instead, stand in front of the mirror and look at your own faults. Find your own faults. Because if you really look at it, going out in search for the faults of others, it's not going to gain you anything. And our beautiful religion of Islam prevents us from finding faults in others. We should not be going around town looking for faults in others, because by doing that, we aren't going to get anything. We would not even have the chance to rectify our own selves, to better our own selves, to improve our own selves. Because when you start to look within yourself, the shortcomings that we have, the shortcomings, the mistakes that you have, the faults and flaws that you have within you, you would want to correct those. You would want to become a better person, a better Muslim. You would want to improve. And you would. Why? Because you're not letting your time go on to looking into the faults of others. You're using your time in a very productive way, in a very positive way. Your energy, I mean, to look for faults in others requires energy. I mean, it's a time-consuming thing. I mean, imagine someone wakes up every morning and his mind is like, today I am going to look for the faults in this person. Today, when I go to school or university or to work, I'm going to see the faults of my boss, or I'm going to see the faults of my co-workers, etc., etc., and I'm going to go and tell other people about it. Imagine, that person is not going to get anywhere in life. And the person wakes up with this in mind, that today I'm going to see how I can better myself. I need to look at myself. Where am I falling? Where am I running short? What do I need to improve? Where am I lacking? And like that, you will see eventually the person will become a better human being. The person will become a better Muslim. The person will have qualities of sympathy, qualities of empathy, of kindness, of hiding the faults of others. This is what we have to do. This is what Islam teaches us, to hide the faults of others, not to go and expose everyone, but to keep the respect of others in mind. Now, dear Yusuf Madani, the second good habit we must adopt is taking responsibility for our own mistakes. You know, small children often have the habit of blaming others to avoid being told off when they make a mistake. Now, this does not suit a wise person. Unfortunately, there is a lot of excuses made in our society. For example, no one told me, it's the parents' fault for not giving us an Islamic education. What can we do? The society is bad. And it does not let a good person live. Blaming society for one's own evils. Someone gets their beard cut and says, it's the barber's fault, he cut it. A friend misled me, etc., etc. In this way, we blame others, we do the blame game and try to comfort ourselves, try to sympathize with our own self. This is a wrong approach. On the day of Qiyamah, when the people of Jahannam are thrown into Jahannam, they are going to talk like this. As it is mentioned in the Holy Quran, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, كُلَّمَا دَخَلَتْ أُمَّةُ اللَّعَنَتْ أُخْتَهَا حَتَّى إِذَا دَارَكُوا فِيهَا جَمِيعًا قَالَتْ أُخْرَاهُمْ لِأُولَاهُمْ رَبَّنَا هَا أُولَاءِ أَضَلُّونَا فَآتِهِمْ عَذَابًا ضِعْفًا مِّنَ النَّارِ قَالَ لِكُلٍّ ضِعْفٌ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Whenever a group will enter the fire, they shall curse the other until when they will all gather therein. Those who came after shall say to those who preceded, O our Rabb, these people had misguided us, so punish them twice as much in the fire. Allah will say, it is doubled for all. However, you do not know. Allahu Akbar. This, Yusuf Madani, is the state of non-Muslims. In this world, they support each other. They celebrate together, commit crimes, commit sins together. They even insult Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam together. But when they enter hell, they will blame each other. They will say that, Ya Rab, these are the ones who led us astray. Give them a double punishment. But the command will be, there is a double punishment for all of you. Allahu Akbar. This is something to understand, Yusuf Madani channel. If a mistake happens, admit it. Take responsibility for it yourself. Blaming others, playing the blame game for your mistake will not solve anything. If you take responsibility for your mistake yourself, you will feel ashamed and you will also develop a mindset to avoid that mistake in the future. So anyone who wants to improve and better themselves should make it a habit to take responsibility for their own mistakes. And as of now, dear Yusuf Madani channel, we do as well have a beautiful kalam, a melodious kalam in the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, there is three more other points to discuss, but inshallah for now, let us rejuvenate our hearts, minds, bodies and soul with the love of the Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by listening to this beautiful kalam And thereafter, we will be back to discuss much further, inshallah. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
بحد الذليل خار ہوں مولا تو بخش دے بحد الذليل خار ہوں مولا تو بخش دے یا رب میں شرمسار ہوں مولا تو بخش دے یا رب میں شرمسار ہوں مولا تو بخش دے میں آج بے قرار ہوں مولا تو بخش دے اسی آنکھ زیر بار ہوں مولا تو بخش دے مغموم و دل فگار دے شرمندہ کردگار ہوں مولا تو بخش دے میں زار ہوں نزار ہوں مولا تو بخش دے میں زار ہوں نزار ہوں مولا تو بخش دے میں نے بھلا دیا مجھے مرنا ہے ایک دن مر کر اندھیری قبر میں جانا ہے ایک دن اعمال کا حساب بھی دینا ہے ایک دن سے بھی گزرنا ہے ایک دن مجرم ہوں نابکار ہوں مولا تو بخش دے مجرم ہوں نابکار ہوں مولا تو بخش دے کوئی نہ دیکھ لے یہی دھڑکا مجھے لگا تو دیکھتا رہا مجھے احساس نہ رہا میں بد لحاظ عفو پہ بھولا رہا صدا بے شرم بن گیا مجھے کچھ حیا میں وہ سیاہ کار ہوں مولا تو بخش دے میں وہ سیاہ کار ہوں مولا تو بخش دے بخش دے, اقرار ہے مجھے میرے مولا میں ہوں لئیم, مایوس پر نہیں تیری رحمت سے اے رحیم, خالی نہ بھیج در سے تیرے اے میرے کریم, میرے گناہ بھی بخش تیری شان غیر عظیم, میں بھی امیدوار ہوں مولا تو بخش دے, میں بھی امیدوار ہوں مولا تو بخش دے, بے حد ذلیل و خوار ہوں مولا تو بخش دے, یا رب میں شرمسار ہوں مولا تو بخش دے.
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. سبحان اللہ سبحان اللہ, اے ویری بیوٹیفل کلام ان دی پریزز آف رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. مے اللہ سبحانہ و تعالی گرانٹ اس آل دی ابیلٹی ٹو امپلیمنٹ دی ٹیچنگ آف دی قرآن اینڈ سنہ, اینڈ گرانٹ اس دی کمپلیٹ لو فار رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. آمین یا رب العالمین. الحمدللہ, کمنگ بیک ٹو آور ٹاپک آف ڈسکشن ان وچ we are discussing the difference between humans and shaitan, and thus far we have mentioned various different aspects, perspectives in relation to this, and now moving forward we go on to the third good habit that we should adopt, and that is to make it a habit to feel ashamed when a mistake is made. If a mistake happens, then what should be our response to that? What should be our reaction to that? How should we feel towards that? If we make a mistake, then a person should feel regret inside. Our conscience should shake us, saying that, oh, what have I done? I have done such a bad thing. No, I've committed a sin. If we feel ashamed inside, within us, internally, like this, inshallah, it will make us realize our mistake. It will also help us avoid such mistakes in the future. Allah Ta'ala wills, we will also receive a reward for fear, for this feeling of shame. Like Sayyidina Ka'ab al-Ahbar rahimahullah says that two men from the Bani Israel, they went towards a masjid. One entered the masjid, but the other was overcome by the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He stayed outside and he started saying that, I am a sinner, I'm not worthy to enter the pure house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with my dirty body. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala liked this humility of his so much that he recorded his name among the Siddiqeen. Allahu Akbar. Remember, the rank of a Siddiq is even higher than that of a Wali or a martyr. In the same way, another incident, a similar story, wherein a man committed a sin. He felt extremely regretful and restless. He started running here and there so that his sin could be forgiven and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would become pleased with him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted his restlessness in shame and blessed him with a very high rank of Siddiqiyya. Allah Akbar. I mean, we ask ourselves, when last have we felt shame for our sins? When last have we felt, you know, that we committed a sin? When did we feel this restlessness in us? that we start getting, you know, anxiety. Not because of worldly reasons, not because of a profit loss, not because of failing a test or etc. But anxiety and restlessness because of committing that sin. That we run up and down, we're restless, we can't even eat properly, we can't drink water, we can't do anything because we're so restless. When last have you and I felt that way? So this is a good habit that you and I should adopt. And inshallah, by our restlessness, who knows? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you and I. Now, viewers of Madani Channel, we go on to the fourth good habit. And the fourth good habit we learn from the character of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam is to be quick in repenting. This is a very, very important point. The sooner we turn towards repentance, the better it is for us. If we keep delaying repentance, saying today, tomorrow, I will repent in the month of Ramadan, I will repent on the 15th night of Sha'ban, I will repent in Laylatul Qadr, or I will repent in old age, or I will depend on the day of Jum'ah, we are going to get trapped in a loss. As it is stated in a hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, هَلَكَ الْمُصَوِّفُونَ. This means that those who keep delaying repentance are destroyed. Allah Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, بَلْ يُرِيدُ الْإِنسَانُ لِيَفْجُرَ أَمَامَهُ. Rather, man chooses to deny what is in front of him. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he says in the explanation of this verse, this means that a person keeps increasing his sins and delays repentance. He keeps saying, I will repent today, I will repent tomorrow, but he does not give up sinning until death reaches him. So, leaves of Madinah Channel, we should make it a habit to repent quickly, repent swiftly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most forgiving. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who repent. Like in a hadith, it's mentioned that when a person does a good deed, the angel on the right shoulder writes 10 good deeds. And when a person commits a sin, the angel on the left shoulder begins to write it. Upon this, the angel on the right shoulder says that, wait, he stays his hand for 7 periods of time. If the person seeks forgiveness, his sin is not written. Allah, subhanallah. I mean, how great is the money in general? How great is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If a sin has been committed, do not delay. Repent quickly, repent immediately, and inshallah the sin will not be written in our book of deeds. We have seen and we know throughout in history we've come across incidents, parables wherein people have committed such great atrocities, such big sins and crimes. When they repented, Allah Ta'ala forgave them. They repented, they were granted wilayah. Subhanallah. Like you see a man who killed 99 people. And he went to a particular monk to ask him if he can be forgiven. The monk said, no, you killed 99 people, are you okay? You can't be forgiven, the doors of forgiveness are closed on you. So this person, he ended up killing the monk as well. Now in total he got 100. Thereafter he comes across a pious scholar, pious man. He asks him that, listen, this is what has transpired. You tell me, are the doors of repentance open for me? Will I be forgiven? Pious scholar says, yes, of course, you can be forgiven. The person gets happy. What should I do? The pious man tells him that, you know what, first of all, leave this area. Go to a particular city, a particular place. There you will find a group of the men of Allah, pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Go there, be in the company, make dhikr Allah, seek repentance, and inshallah, your repentance will be accepted. The man, he makes a firm intention that, you know what, I'm done with my old ways. Now, I just want to repent, start afresh. He makes this niyyah. And as he is going to that other place, before he could even reach, he dies halfway, all of a sudden. Now, angels of mercy come to take him. Angels of punishment come to take him. And the dispute is going on between the two angels that, no, we are going to take him. Angels of punishment saying, no, we are going to take him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent an angel. Tell them that, you know what, measure the distance between where he was coming from to where he was going to. If he is closer to where he was coming from, then the angels of punishment must take him. If he is closer towards his destination, to where he is, who he was going to, then angels of mercy must take him. So the distance was measured, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that he was found to be closer to his destination, to where he was going to. Subhanallah, and the angels of mercy took him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had forgiven him. Allahu Akbar. So we see, Jesus of Madinah, from this we learn that we need to make a firm niyyah, firm intention, you know, in our hearts, that we want to repent sincerely, sincere tawbah. You know, some people commit a sin and they just, you know, tap their cheeks, tawbah, 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 and they say tawbah, tawbah. That's not real sincere tawbah. Real tawbah, it comes with its conditions, with its preconditions. You feel guilty over it, you feel ashamed over it, you feel regret over it, and you make a firm intention not to commit that sin again. You've got these three in place, sincere tawbah, sincere repentance. We too, we should always repent in the court of Allah. What happens is that a person commits a sin and they wouldn't even think about repenting. They would wait for a big night, they would wait for the day of Jummah. I mean, who guarantees that we are even going to reach the day of Jummah or the next big night or the next Ramadan? We have no guarantee. And like this, a person will keep on delaying and falling into the traps of Shaitan, because Shaitan is the one who does not want us to repent. Shaitan is the one who does not want us to turn back towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaitan makes us feel despondent over our wrongdoings. Shaitan makes us feel hopeless over our wrongdoings. And when a person falls into the traps and the whispers of Shaitan, then the person ends up being drowned into sins. So we need to ignore these satanic whispers. Ignore it. You commit a sin, same time turn to Allah. You commit another sin, same time turn to Allah. We need to keep on repenting for our sins. And like this, eventually you would see that you will start to hate committing sins, because it's because of the barakah of tawbah, because of the barakah of repentance. So repentance, even of Madinah, inshallah, is very, very important and essential in our life as a believer. That was the fourth, to make tawbah, to repent immediately and not delay it. Now we go on to the fifth good habit, and that is to never ever lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala is most merciful, very merciful. Allah ta'ala is the one who shows mercy and accepts repentance. If an error or a sin has occurred, keep hope in the mercy of Allah and repent as soon as possible. Inshallah, our repentance will be accepted. You know, in one narration it is stated, a person commits a sin and the angels wait before writing it. Then a person commits a second, third, fourth, and fifth sin. After these five sins, he performs one good deed. Since the reward for every good deed is how many? It's 10. So, five good deeds are written in his book of deeds, and they serve as an atonement for his five sins. And upon this, Shaitan cries out. He says, how can I control the son of Adam? I worked hard and made him commit five sins, but he performed just one good deed and destroyed all my hard work. Allah, subhanallah. Mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so great, Yusuf Madani, that whoever turns towards the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala forgives him. It's narrated, there was a very pious, very devout worshipper among the Bani Israel. And the king of that time heard about him. So he called him to the court and said, I want you to stay with me. The worshipper said, oh king, I want to ask you a hypothetical question. Suppose I start living with you, and one day you come from outside and see me playing with your maidservant, how would you feel? The king shouted in anger and said, you disrespectful person, do you say such things in front of me? The pious worshipper said, oh king, I have only asked a hypothetical question and you have become so angry. Yes, my Rabb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the one who sees hundreds of my sins, yet he does not show wrath. Why then should I leave the door of my Rabb and come to your court? Allah, subhanallah, subhanallah. You know, there is a very beautiful couplet of poetry. So I'll give you its explanation in English. The summary of it is that parents who love their children very much, if they even see one sin, they might insult the child so much that they don't talk to them for the rest of their lives. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees millions of our sins, yet Allah ta'ala does not reveal our faults. Allah ta'ala keeps our sins hidden. This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the concealer of faults. He is as-sattar. Allah ta'ala is most forgiving. Allah ta'ala hides our faults. And when a servant repents with a sincere heart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives him no matter how many sins he has committed. Allah, yes, if you and I should not lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to us in the Holy Quran, لَا تَقَنَطُوا مِن رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. They do not ever despair, do not lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as of now, dear viewers, we do have a clip, piece of nasiha, piece of advice. Now let's go forward and listen to that. And thereafter, we will be back to conclude with our today's topic of discussion. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
You know, this world, some people live in this world of fantasy, where through the imaginations they build entire cities and castles in the air, in the sky. And they live in this. They are so caught up in the gaming industry with AI, artificial intelligence, these 3D games where you log onto the internet online with other players from around the world, and a person hours on end plays games or indulges in entertainment or sports or movies, cinemas, dramas. Let me tell you, these entertainments that are there, these sort of entertainments are there to distract you. They are wonderful tools of shaitan to distract you and to divert your attention from preparing for the grave and hereafter, from worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are just distractions, just diversions. They are tricks and traps of shaitan. They are nets and webs of shaitan. Which ones am I trapped in? If I realize it, I need to break free from this and not live my life in accordance to appease the desires of society, rather to live my life to please Allah Azza wa Jal and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah, MashaAllah. A very beautiful piece of nasiha by our beloved Mawlana Naushad Attari hafidhahullahu ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the ability to act upon it and to spread it to others as well, inshaAllah. So, dear viewers of Mother Nishana, coming to the conclusion of our episode for today, there's a very beautiful hadith that mentions Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spreads his hand of power at night so that the one who sinned during the day may repent. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spreads his hand of power during the day so that the one who sinned at night may repent. Now, spreading the hand is a sign. When we want to make peace with someone, we reach out our hand to embrace them. We extend the hand of peace towards them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pure from having a physical hand like ours. This is an example used to explain that there is a message of peace for the servant from Allah ta'ala at all times. If a person sins during the day, the door of repentance is open all night. If a person sins at night, the door of repentance is open all day. So in any case, do not lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Move towards repentance as quickly as possible. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the ability. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Until then, keep watching Madarin channel. Keep sending salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Each stage of life, a chance to grow with faith and love, the blessings flow. Seasons of life, seasons of life.